Wayne Rooney, noughties and naughty Premier League icon. Played for Everton, Derby, DC United and made almost 600 appearances for Man United, where he won the lot. All-time top goalscorer for England, all-time top goalscorer for United, all-time 11th top goalscorer for DC United, big shame. Current manager of Derby County, sometimes doting husband of Colleen, and of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought of his book, and crucially, whether it's better than Jamie Vardy's in today's Football Book Club.
They're all like, oh, Wazza, come on, don't be like that, mate. And then he makes them all leave the room.
He started shouting out phrases from the game, like, he's in the generator room.
This is the man who described Paul Scholes as ginger lad, low centre of gravity.
Who has ever looked at a cow in a field and gone, that's better than my cow? Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Gabriel Garcia Marquez, more Fabian Barthez. Yes, Jack has gone. We got him. He's laughing.
That's good. I'm enjoying these ones. This season I'm enjoying them.
thanks to Max Walter for that one. Big, oh, high praise indeed, getting a Jack laugh from that. Imagine
good.
If all of a sudden Tash booed it, and like it turns out now Tash is going to be the one who hates these things.
This season, Tash hates it.
Tash hates stuff. No, everyone's got a grumpy series. I've been pretty cheery most of the time. Anyway, I'm James Bug, and over the series, we'll be reading classics such as Dave Whelan's Playing to Win and Julian Joachim's You Must Be Joachim.
Brilliant.
Exceptional. I don't think it's even out yet, that book, but it's coming out, and that's exciting.
And it really works, like, unlike a lot of the other puns, that one really does work.
Yeah. Blood,
sweat, I would
Jason
argue it
Mackinson.
Doesn't work written down.
Yeah, it doesn't work
written down. It doesn't look like much, but it's very funny.
For the audio book, pretty good.
The audible pun, it works well.
Definitely, yeah. If you're subscribed to that on Audible, you're laughing. But today, we're not reading Julian Joachim's book. We're reading part two of our Vardy versus Rooney grudge match, pitting the two England legends against each other in the same way their wives are currently pitted against each other in the tabloids. And this week, it's Wayne Rooney's turn as we read 2013's, what's it called? My Decade in the Premier League. And it's like my first book. Like, anything with my at the
it
front
really
of it.
Is.
My first work organiser. And joining me to read it, as always, are Jack Bernhardt.
Hi.
Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
And James Baljan.
Hello.
How are we all doing? We all good?
Good. Pumped
good.
For this.
Still.
Just pumped?
Huh? You're pumped for this?
Huh?
I was going to say still sleepy. Still sleep deprived.
You're equivalent of the keep dancing. Still sleepy.
Still sleep deprived.
Honk honk.
I think you've got about 7 years left of that, haven't you?
Yeah. Honk honk. I'm still sleep deprived. The Jack Bernhardt story.
We were still on a high from Jamie Vardy's book 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I've reread it like 4 times. Love it.
Wow.
Downloaded the audiobook so he can like lull me to sleep at night.
Oh, very cute. Very, very cute. With all the
Jamie
stories
Vardy
of
whispering in your ear.
Yeah.
Me and Sam Bailey are like make up his fan club.
did Sam Bailey read the audiobook? That'd be great. I'd listen to that.
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Maybe she could sing it.
Ooh, Jamie Vardy the musical. I like it. But today,
everybody's
no
talking
more
about Jamie.
Oh, nice. That's very good.
Very good.
Today, though, we're reading Rooney's book. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge for Wayne. Probably the greatest of his whole career that he's faced. Whether he can beat Jamie Vardy's book in the Football Book Club book off. What are we thinking?
It's a hard challenge for him. Very hard challenge for him to top that. What a great opening book that we read.
It was cracking.
Can you do that in Alan Smith's voice, James? The way you said that. Oh, it's a tough challenge. It was very assistant commentary the way you said that.
Was it? Yeah, it was... well, not jumping too far ahead, but obviously we're pitting them against each other, Jamie and Wayne, but there's one thing they have in common that I think you probably all have picked up on. Their love of energy drinks before games. Wayne does that as well.
Absolutely love energy drinks.
So
that's very true.
Say they're not too dissimilar.
I mean, but I would say that while Wayne has a sort of casual love of them, Vardy is definitely like an obsessive.
Yeah.
True. Like, although, I'm pretty sure the Man U doctor tells Wayne to cut back on it, doesn't he? On caffeine at some point.
They say cut back on caffeine, but I reckon like if they had Jamie Vardy in, they would be like, Jamie, please, you can't come in here. Jamie just bouncing off the wall.
Yeah, that's why Ferguson never signed Vardy. He was like, I can't have two of them.
He does say at one point that he wants to work out how to bottle the buzz of scoring for United and turn it into an energy drink, doesn't he?
That's true.
See, they both love energy drinks. They're both going to be outside their cult room knocking back monsters before they go in.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. Unlike Vardy, though, Rooney's written a fair few books. So he wrote 2009's The Way It Is and 2012's My Greatest Moments in the Premier League. My 10 Greatest Moments in the Premier League. Another my book. But this is the most recent, as Wayne reflects on his decade at United, but also a bit at Everton, a little bit, and growing up.
This is his most recent book, sorry.
Yeah, I was surprised
at
that
as
well.
Yeah, it is. I was surprised by that as well. But no, apparently he hasn't got anything out since then. That's why we went for it. And it is an autobiography, but it's a bit of a different one, this one, just talking about the Premier League. And it doesn't include, obviously, the end of his career or the summer just gone, which I'm sure would have had some pretty interesting stories from the tabloids once again. But can he beat Vardy? Let's find out. And legally, whoever wins this, their wife wins the trial. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So. So, over the show, we're going to be going into more depth about the book. We'll have a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and Ken Zong is back. He was good last time, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was good.
Very good.
I mean, you know, it feels like you're saying that he's not always good. Not that he's always good.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. But first...
Sometimes better than others.
Yeah. Yes, they're always good. They always hit a certain amount, but yeah. But anyway, first, let's see what Amazon's saying about my decade in the Premier League, or as it's called on Amazon. It says, Wayne Rooney, my decade in the Premier League. Colon, the inside account of life as a Premier League footballer from the man everyone wants to hear from. What a long title.
From the man everyone wants to hear from as well, as if like...
Yeah.
We weren't interested in the Premier League before Wayne Rooney's inside take in the Premier League came out.
Not until he turned up. No one cared at all. It was he got us into it. Anyway, the book's got 4.4 stars from 152 reviews. Quite well reviewed. Mm-hmm. Largely United fans, I would say, flicking through it.
Yeah.
Someone whose username is, I don't know how to pronounce this, Use the Tank. EWS the Tank, all one word, gave it this 5-star review called Amazing! ! Which reads, great book, I really enjoyed it. I would strongly recommend it to anyone who wants to know about Wayne Rooney, #epic. Then for balance, a chap called Grubber gives it 1 star in his review titled Rubbish. And the review is as if written by an idiot. So, what do you think? Idiot or #epic? Over to you.
Those are the two options. Well, interestingly, you know, you're talking about the stain last week on your Vardy book. This is not to do with the quality of the book, purely to do with the actual how the book looks.
Yeah.
Mine seems to have been bitten.
That is a football book club
bit
first.
Of my book. I have little bite. And that was crucially before I gave it to my dog. And I sent the picture to you guys of my dog sleeping on the book, looking very cute with her head on the pillow.
But
like that, this wasn't her. Another dog, I think, has bitten this book.
Or postman. Could be the postman.
Or Wayne Rooney himself. Maybe that's a special offer that he does to people.
Yeah, as opposed to signing them, he just bites the odd book occasionally. Like when you get a train ticket. Like that. Tash, talking of dogs, how's your dog's balls? Doing good today?
Fine. He's asleep next to me. He's chilling today. But I was about to say that Waffles and I had the same opinion on the book, and it made me want to fall asleep as well.
Oh dear! This is not looking good. Not looking good at all.
I have not read such an energy sapping book since I read Jude the Obscure. I swear. Like, did you have to read that? Did you ever have to read that?
No.
I don't know what it is.
They give it's Thomas Hardy, and they give the character the nickname Little Father Time because he's so intensely serious and angry and has no sense of humor. Does that remind you of anyone?
Ha ha! I think I know you're talking about.
I'm going to call Mr. Rooney Little Father Time from now on.
That's very nice. We did Far From the Madding Crowd, the other Hardy classic, also boring. Oh. With
so Bathsheba. Boring.
Oh my God, that guy sucks. Anyway, this isn't Thomas Hardy does
God,
suck.
Well, actually, this is the first time we talked about a proper author on this.
I know, right?
Podcast.
Yeah, apart from
doing
a pun about
their
name.
Sorry to bring the mood up for once.
Less Tom Hardy, more Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy. Yes! I think I think we have done that before, though, on the show. So, okay, well, point taken away.
Fine. You know what? I suddenly feel the rush that people have when they send those things in.
Nice.
God, it feels amazing.
Nice. And James, you enjoyed it?
I mean, I didn't enjoy reading pages and pages of my new being successful win or anything. But I mean, that, I mean, this is probably their, arguably their best ever team, or one of them, at least one of them.
Yeah. When Fergie had like 17 strikers to choose from.
Yeah, and they were
Berbatov,
all brilliant.
Berbatov, yeah. Tevez, Ronaldo,
and
Rooney.
Yeah. Liverpool were way off around this time. I remember it well. But.
Whoa.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the book, not towards the end. Not towards the end.
Well. Yeah,
there's one season.
Yeah, you say that. This is what Liverpool do. We're not going to talk about Liverpool, but you know they'll have one season every now and then where they're during this period anyway. So yeah, Liverpool way off.
And you're right. It takes us just before Euro 2012, just after City have won the league. But I guess he's had his glory days as a United player. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
And England.
I think a bit like. One of the Michael Owen books we read, one of the many Michael Owen books we read, where he felt like he was going to have more to come afterwards. You do get the feeling that Wayne is sort of holding back a little bit here.
Yeah.
He's sort of like, there's more to come, and there would be what after this? There'd be one more title the next season, and then an FA Cup.
I can't think. Maybe another.
So when did he leave before Fergie retires? Isn't it the year before?
Was he there under Mourinho at all? Was he?
I think so. Yeah,
he won the Europa League and stuff. Then maybe I can't.
He
remember.
Probably did win the Europa League. I can't remember.
If Buddy waited, we'd know.
He should do another book, genuinely, because I would like to know a lot more about the latter part of his career.
Yeah, I want to know about that Snapchat thing recently. that's what I want to hear about.
I just feel like I've read this whole book, and it's quite a chunky book. You know, it's not a it's not a little tome, and I don't know anything about the man other than the football games that he played.
I think that's very much intentional. I think that kind of goes in with what Jack was saying. He is holding something back because I've got a bit of an attachment to Rooney. I was at the game where Rooney made his England debut. And can you remember who that was against? This is not going to count towards the quiz later.
That was Australia, wasn't it?
Is correct. I think it was at Upton Park, and I think it's the only England game I've ever been to. Because I go to a lot of Tottenham games. I've not really got any interest in going to England matches. But I went on a school trip, I think. And he made
his
debut.
Like a dream.
I think it was a school trip. Made Australia on my school trip.
Yeah. Me and this big monster kind of there, and it was really irritating the way through, and I wasn't wearing any trousers. But we lost 3-1. Can you remember who scored that game? England Australia 2003.
Darius Vassell. I don't know.
Did you say Genus, James?
I said Jesus.
Oh, okay.
But did Genus score?
No, but interestingly, Genus is one of the people who made his debut that day. It was a really weird team, made up loads of people who made their debuts. So the goal scorer that day was Franny Jeffers. Jeffers, I think his only England appearance, maybe, or one of only two. Jeffers scored. But then the other three, I went through the team and I counted the people who made their debuts. Genus, Rooney, Jeffers, Paul Konchesky, James Beattie, made the debut, and Sean Davis was on the bench, but sadly never came off for an England cap. What a weird game. That was a weird game. Very odd.
And you're saying this has given you a special attachment to Wayne Rooney.
I was there for the beginning of that, which I thought, I mean, you know, one thing I was sad about in the book, I didn't really have much of the Everton goal against Arsenal, which is the first moment I really remember him, even though apparently he made his debut against Spurs, which I don't remember that well.
I don't know. But I thought it was Arsenal, would you?
Because he didn't do anything. That was when he exploded, when he scored that Arsenal goal. God, that was a good goal.
It was a great goal. I remember watching that on the Premiership, maybe in that era.
Yeah, it was the Premiership.
Anyway, the book, I found it, like, despite that, it's a bit annoying, isn't it? The way it's written, I found it. It's like, it's not his fault, first of all, that it's a bit dull because every season is kind of the same and every season goes well. But it's kind of written like, I don't know, like a Nike advert. It's like just all slogans, like really short sentences, bam, bam, bam. Like, or one of those like join the army adverts. It's just like really short things. Like, had a good time, went that, bang.
Also because
do this,
he has
go
a
to
really,
Huddersfield.
He has a really annoying habit of like half the book is in like a regular font. And then little bits will be in italics.
The italics stuff makes no sense to me. Because
at first was like his internal monologue.
Exactly.
And was like, oh, but then it isn't as it goes on. It's like, oh, this is what he's thinking. But no, and then it just becomes like random points. And it's like, oh, this isn't what?
It's nonsense. Strange. It'll be like, Alex Ferguson took me to one side. Okay, all right, fine. Are you thinking that, or did it happen? Like,
but the bit where he just repeats the words, convince them to forgive you, convince them to forgive you, in italics over and over again, like
even
it's some kind of horrible. It's like a 12 steps program.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
I thought that was a classic example. We've had a few of these of trying to get the word cup. Trying to get the word count up at times like that. Because there's quite a few lines where he'll do like, he'll be talking about a game. There's a lot of match points in this game. But he'll be doing like, he'll be like, Ryan, against Barcelona, he'll be like, pass a move. They pass a move. Pass a move, pass a move, pass a move, must move. And he just kind of writes that over and over again. Then he'll do it again in another paragraph, exactly the same words. It's like, all right, Wayne, we get the idea. And I get it makes it quite frantic, but it's a bit irritating to read. And I just wanted to read the beginning of the book, which I don't usually do, but I think it really sums it up. And also, in many ways, it starts exactly the same as Alan Partridge trying to describe The Spy Who Loved Me. The whole bang, blood dribbles down. This one starts with bang, everything goes dead mad, dead quick. Then that feeling kicks in, an unbelievable feeling of satisfaction that I get from scoring a goal in the Premier League. Like the sensation I get whenever I've smashed a golf ball, flush off the face of the club and watch it trickle onto the green. Bizarre. What a strange thing to say.
You cannot compare scoring a goal to another sport.
To an amateur player who we don't know for playing golf doing that. If he was like, I can only compare it to like the feeling Muhammad Ali gets when he knocks someone out or something, like you can maybe get away with that, but nonsense.
But
nonsense.
Yeah, it's like saying scoring a goal is like, oh, you know when you throw a ball into like a cup from really far out?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
It's like when I do that. That's what he says with it. It's weird. Yeah.
This is the man who described Paul Scholes as ginger lad, low centre of gravity. That's it.
In case you don't know who Paul Scholes is, ginger lad, low centre of gravity. Just in case you know who Paul Scholes is. It's a high, a mad rush of power. It's a wave of emotion, but it takes me over like nothing else. The feeling of putting one over Manchester United is huge, selfish, nuts. Can a feeling be selfish? I don't know what that means, really. I reckon if I could bottle the buzz, I'll be able to make the best energy drink ever, as Tash said. A heartbeat later and I'm at normal speed again. I'm coming round. Everything's in focus. The sound, a roar loud enough to hurt my ears, like a plane taking off. The aching in my legs. The sweat running down my neck. The mud on my kit. There's more and more noise. It's so big. It's right on top of me. Sexy music? Sexy music, yeah? Someone's grabbing at my shirt. My heart's banging out of my chest. The crowd are singing my name. Rooney, Rooney, Rooney. And there's no better fear in the world. Then I look up and see the scoreboard. 12th of February, 2011. United 2, City 1. It's a good start, but it's irritating.
James Bond is going to die. He's going to die.
Stop getting Rooney wrong. But yeah, I mean, I hope that irritated you as much as it did when I was reading it. I don't know why. It doesn't feel like he's written it either.
Oh my god, so much of this book doesn't feel like he's written it. And
it's
also
very
doesn't
football
feel
bantery writing where they do it. Like, yeah.
And also there are so many bits that I'm sure like are fake that are so like, I was on holiday one time and this guy asked me, hey, what was your debut like? So I thought about what my debut was like. And you're like, that absolutely didn't happen. What's wrong with you?
And that's true. And also, if I may, moving on to my one minor bugbear from the book. I mean, that was my big bugbear, but one other minor bugbear, which I had in the book, which has come up in a book we read before. As I mentioned, a lot of this book is match reports, much like that one we had there, like kind of interesting match reports, better than like Gary Monk ones that we had. Mm. I keep chucking Gary under the bus. I feel really bad.
He deserves it.
Fair enough. But he makes a fatal mistake, which I am sure Jack and James remember. Sorry, Tash, this was from very early book club. He makes the mistake of not just doing blow-by-blow accounts of matches that he played in, but also he just makes up some in his head and then does blow-by-blow accounts of that, much like Louis Saha did with his fake World Cup final, I think he did.
Oh my God, that annoyed me so much.
I remember, if you go back and listen to the Louis Saha episode, that Jack was fuming with that. But on page 85, it's quite interesting because there's merits to it. It's better than the Saha one because he talks about how he visualizes games before he goes to bed. Jack's getting into it now.
I forgot about this. This is really funny.
He talks about how he visualizes games before he goes to bed, which is interesting because he says, like, to the kit man, okay, what kit are we playing in tomorrow? Just so I can sleep and imagine what kit I'm playing in tomorrow, so I can picture when I'm doing these weird daydreams, I can figure out what's going on. And he does it. And he goes, as I get into bed, I imagine the players I'm going to be coming up against the next day. And I spend 20 minutes, exactly, seeing situations where I'm in front of goal. I'm planning for what I'm going to do. I've realised that if I do my thinking before a match, my head will be ready when the action starts, which is kind of interesting. But then he gets into it so much. He makes up some scenario where Tony Hibbert is having a bad game in his head. He's like, I can exploit him. He's having a weekend. I've had a shot. Oh, it's just flown past the keeper, Nigel Martin. 1-0. And you go, okay, cool. We get the idea now, Wayne. He carries on for ages going next. In my mind, I watch a long ball from our defence landing at my feet. I'm on the edge of the Everton box. Their skipper, Phil Neville, is coming towards me. I know he's committed, putting his tackles in hard all over the pitch. He dives in, skidding across the grass. I shape shoot my right, dropping a shoulder before dropping the ball back inside as he passed me. I bang the ball past Martin, my left peg. 2-0. The next day, I wake up. It's just like, what a waste. All the things he could talk about.
Do you know what, though, I discovered? Do you know what I discovered when I was doing a bit of digging, though? The guy that he wrote this with also wrote the SAS Who Dares Wins books with Ant Middleton. And I feel like, doesn't that make sense?
Absolutely.
You can feel the same tone coming through.
Did Ant Middleton just make up loads of tours that he dreamt up? Like, I did a tour of Antarctica. Oh, all those penguins looking at me. Yeah, just nonsense. You can't just make things up. Well, you can. It's interesting as an insight into him, but...
When I was growing up, and this is incredibly lame, I used to.
I can't wait. That's okay. It's a safe space.
Make up stories of you, like starting for Arsenal or something.
It's much, much worse. I used to pretend I was on Soccer Saturday, and I would do like, I'd be like, "Oh, there's been a goal at Middlesbrough. Who scored it? It's Yakubu." And then I would like write down Yakubu scored a goal.
Oh my word, like... that is incredible. Did you record this?
And so no, I definitely didn't. Oh, I did tell someone about it once. Like and then she's never let me forget it. Every time I talk to her, she's like, "Yeah, but you used to make up football games in your head." And I go, "Fuck." Yes. All right, I did do that.
That's so funny.
Now look, Jack, here you are on a panel talking about football.
Yeah.
Holding the microphone just like that.
Yeah, that's true. And making fun of Wayne Rooney for doing exactly the same thing.
Ellen Road! It's Mark Viduka! I genuinely would do that. It was very sweet.
But one thing, just before we move on to the subject, one thing I'll give him credit for is it's nice to get a blow-by-blow account of a different Champions League final to the one we always get, bloody Istanbul 2005. This one we get 2008, Chelsea United. So, that's good.
It's not particularly interesting.
And it actually happened this
way.
Didn't just dream it. Yeah.
Imagine if you got to the end of this book and he was like, "Anyway, so I woke up and here's what actually happened."
Like Dallas kind of style, yeah.
Yeah.
Dallas, that way it was? Yeah.
Yeah.
JR?
Dallas, let's say it's Dallas.
Yeah, wakes up in
the
shower.
Yeah, JR. Look, let's be honest. We all know it from the Who Shot Mr. Burns, the bit where Mr. Burns is in the shower. That's the only way I know that reference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was the anniversary of that episode the other day, and someone posted a Vegas like odds board, and Maggie was 5,000 to 1.
Yeah. Foolish.
Good Lord.
Someone must get that have made...
That's Leicester odds.
Made a bit of... Yeah.
Imagine if you put a bet on Maggie shooting Mr. Burns and Leicester win the league. Like,
you'd be a billionaire.
Oh, you'd be... That's how Elon Musk got his money. Must be. Only way. impossible.
What I like in this book... Okay, so I agree. I don't really like this book at all. I find it quite tedious. It's very irritating as books go.
It's interesting in some ways.
It's very samey.
It's
just the same thing over and over again. But you do get a little bit of insight into Wayne's relationship with other players at Man United, which is quite interesting.
Say, it's the glory years of these United players.
It's the glory years.
Big
and
dogs.
It's there are loads. You know, you've got all the players: Scholes, Ginger Lad. I mean, so that's not the only really weird, like, description of a player.
No,
there's a description of Dimitar Berbatov.
Oh my god!
Which is,
I'm so glad you
god! I love the description of Dimitar Berbatov. He says, "I tried to lay a return pass back to my strike partner, Dimitar Berbatov, a ringer for Andy Garcia in The Godfather Part 3. Semicolon, dangerous like Andy Garcia in The Godfather Part 3.
The fact that he spells that out twice.
Yeah, you could just say, he looks like and is as dangerous as Andy Garcia in The Godfather Part 3. That is another example of him really trying to up the word count.
It really is. The Part 3 is so
also
unnecessary.
Who's referencing Godfather Part 3?
I mean,
yeah, but
I
that he just references that film, and then he also says centre backs are like Transformers, and they're the only two sort of cultural reference points in this whole book.
That is a very good point. What year did Godfather Part 3 come out? About 1990 something? Would you say, Tash? Would you say that film? Let me just play in my favourite clip.
It has a very like 1997 aura about it.
If you don't subscribe to our football book club on Patreon, patreon.com/footballbookclub, you'll never understand that joke. So make sure you do. Anyway, but yeah, it's bizarre, that description. Absolutely bizarre.
That's so weird. Sorry, I don't know what I'm talking about, guys. I've completely lost it. I've lost my brain.
You couldn't do this on Psycho Saturday, Jack.
There's been a goal.
Cammy
does it every week. So
at the Riverside Stadium. I really like how Patrice Evra comes across in this book as well, though. It's really sweet. Yeah. He says when Patrice Evra first turns up, every time it rains, he starts dancing about and going like, "Welcome to England."
I can imagine him doing.
Cute the first time, the 20th time, like, all right, Patrice, it's annoying. Definitely. No, stop it.
And also, like, he talks about how Patrice Evra, he would always wear shin pads during training, and as soon as Paul Scholes retired.
Yeah,
he was like, "Well, done with these. I don't need these anymore because Paul Scholes is going to break my legs." And then Paul Scholes comes back, and Patrice Evra is like, "Get me 17 shin pads."
Yeah,
my
that was great.
Can't handle it.
The insight into the
Everything
other players
comes
is amazing.
Back to Patrice Evra.
Wasn't he the guy who, in talking to Louis Saha's book again? Wasn't he the guy who kept calling him Pappy?
Yeah, and all that was Arteta, wasn't it?
Maybe. I think he's as Pappy as I think a lot of people say Pappy in that book. Weird book. You maybe on that note, I'm pretty sure in this book, Rio Ferdinand only says the word "wow" over and over again. All he can do is go "wow" or shake his head in disbelief. That's all he ever does in the whole book. Which is, I can imagine,
overhead kick goal. Yeah,
yeah.
The United like banter does seem awful though in a lot of ways. Like when Wayne Rooney has a hair transplant. Well, he says he's going to get a hair transplant. Their first joke is like, "Will you get a ponytail, Wayne?" Like, that's rubbish. Just shit. Terrible.
I think reading this straight after the Vardy book, really, like, you'd definitely not want to sign for United, would you? It's great propaganda for Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, they seem so much more fun.
Seem to like... Yeah. To get this whole team going, whereas this just feels like you've got a weird tyrant at the helm in Alex Ferguson.
That they're all terrified of.
To be honest, he seems quite funny, Ferguson, at times in this thing. Like, there's a bit when they're like having, like, in the training ground, and if they win, he's really happy, and he like busts out, as Rudy says, he just like tells like shitty jokes or asks them like random trivia. Like, he'll go like, "Name all the players
he doesn't know the answer to."
Yeah. Name all the countries beginning with T. Go. But usually,
I think
reward
for winning.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just him like not being
wrong
fuming with you.
Playing only connect.
The best bit of this whole book, and genuinely that made the whole thing worthwhile, was talking about Anderson.
And how he
didn't speak any English for ages and ages and ages. He would just be completely quiet. And then he said that they'd all been playing a computer game together called Sock'em.
I remember that vaguely. It was like a
US Special Operations Command, apparently.
Yeah,
it was
like a Call of Duty light kind of game. Yeah.
And he said that Anderson has learned English through this. So that during training, he started shouting out phrases from the game like, "He's killed me," and "He's in the generator room."
They always say, like, with footballers, like, who speak different languages, you only need to say a few things to each other, like, "You go left, you go right, cover, man on," or like, "And he's in the generator room" is a very important thing to say. You never know when an opposition member might be in the generator room.
What could it mean?
I don't.
Is it he's in the box?
Yeah, he's in the box, maybe that's what they're gonna use it for now, I guess.
He's in the generator.
Reload.
There's also a
classic Michael Owen. Classic dull Michael Owen thing in the book where, just to bring it back to the trilogy, make sure you listen back to that, Ferguson does a speech before a game, and then everyone's psyched up, and Michael Owen says, "Oh my God, that's one of the best things I've ever heard." That's what it's described. Which is so Michael Owen. So Michael Owen.
Very much so.
And Jack, thank you very much for bringing up United players, because this moves us very nicely onto this week's dramatic reading. So can someone give us a honk honk and cue the dramatic music? Only can be one person, I think. Tash?
Honk, honk.
Thank you very much. We're going to do that every episode this series now. Honk, honk, cue dramatic music. This story is called Wayne Rooney and the Forbidden ITV Primetime Television Program. Okay.
I like how this one sounds like a Harry Potter book.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, it would be a good one, actually. On the night before my first game against Birmingham City, brackets, a 0-0 draw, the squad sits down for tea in the team hotel, a fancy place with a private dining room just for us, complete with plasma screen telly. Again, there's a kind of level of how monotonous some of this is. That's not, I don't care about detail. What was the Plaza Hotel like? Roy's watching the rugby, but the minute he gets up to go to the loo... In comes Wayne. I swipe the controls and flip the channel so the lads can watch X Factor on the other side. Then I stuff the remote in my trackie pocket. I would argue that the more laddish thing to do would be to watch the rugby. I don't think that's a very laddish behaviour to watch X Factor. Oh, pop the TV. The lads just want to watch the talent shows.
Alexandra Burke.
Yeah. Exactly.
What year would this have been? This would have been... Okay, so we need to work out what season of X Factor this was.
When he made his debut. So this would have been about 2004.
2000, no, it was later than that.
No, when he made his debut. So Alexandra Burke was 2005, I think she was.
And
when
Wayne
she won
Rooney
it.
And Roy Keane leaves in 2005, so this must be about 2004.
Yeah.
2008, so she won.
2008.
Okay.
Oh, so was it Leona Lewis then who won? She was.
I knew it was late because she duets with Beyonce and they sing a
that's
song
true.
That didn't come out till Sasha Fierce. Guys, come on.
So she was the fifth to win it. Was she fifth? Was she fifth?
Yeah, she must.
Yes, because Ridian was robbed in the sixth. Yep, that's right. I'm very defensive of Ridian. That was
wow,
a joke.
He was
just a bunch of lads talking about X Factor.
So wait, so that means 2004 would have been the first year because I'm pretty sure she was the first. So 2004 would have been who won the first one? Shane
Girls
Ward.
Allowed?
Shane Ward. No, that's Popstars The Rivals. That's 2003.
Oh, sorry, I'm completely out.
Shane Ward, did he win the first one? My brain's gone. No, Steve Brookstein. Steve Brookstein. Shane Ward was second. Leona was third. Fourth was Leon or someone like that, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Was he the guy who robbed Ridian? Okay, anyway, never mind. So it was either Steve Brookstein. He either flicked on to watch Steve Brookstein or Shane Ward. Either way, pathetic. Anyway, when Roy comes back, Roy comes back and notices Simon Cowell's face in the telly. He's not happy. He's
I love the idea of being like, yeah. Wait a minute. How long does it take him to work out this is the rugby? It's not the rugby, rather.
He starts shouting, "Who's turned it over? Where's the remote?" I don't say a word. Nobody does. Everyone starts looking around the room, trying to avoid his glare. I don't. Roy Keane's or Simon Cowell's, not sure. Well, if no one's watching this, I'll turn it off, says Roy Keane. Roy walks up to the telly and yanks the plug out of the wall. Let's sit there in silence. There isn't a sound apart from the scrape of cutlery on plates. It's moody. So yeah, it doesn't even turn it back. So it just pulls everything out.
This started like a really fun, like, oh, what a bit of japes, what a bit of fun. And it becomes like a penta play. It's awful.
Yes. Yeah. It's true. After dinner, we all crash out early, but around midnight, I get a knock on the door. It's the club security guard. All right, Wayne, he says, Roy sent me. He wants to know where the remote controls are. I realise it's Roy's way. Why did he send the security
guard? Why does Roy Keane have access to the club security guard? Where he can just send them off to youth players and say, we want the remote control back.
They're in a hotel this time. About? He should be stopping fans from like breaking into the place. Instead, he's got he sent him a monotonous chance to get a remote control back. I realise it's Roy's way of letting on to me that he knows exactly what happened. It's a message. You're for it now, he writes in italics. I hand them over and wonder what's going to happen. But the next day, he says nothing about it. Cool. Thanks, Wayne. What a waste of a story.
Terrible.
Anyway.
Although, that's quite a common theme with Roy Keane. Because in other books, who was it? Was it Paddy Kenny's book?
What was the story?
I think it was Paddy Kenny. I remember this as
well. Was it Paddy Kenny?
Kenny like shouts at him.
I think, yeah. And then Roy Keane, and he's like, oh God, Roy Keane's going to kill me now. And then Roy Keane doesn't do anything to him afterwards.
Yeah, he's a coward, Roy Keane. Go on, do your worst, Roy. Get me for that. Anyway, please don't
kill
them.
You know, if we're talking about someone having a bit of a TV kit stolen, Jason McAteer didn't get those DVDs back from Roy Keane.
That's true. Yeah, so what you're saying, he's making for Jason McAteer. He's taking things from Roy.
Roy should know that, you know, what goes around comes around.
That's
true. He had those DVDs. He stole those DVDs off Jason McAteer, and now the remote's gone. He's just, you know, chalked that up to an experience.
A very good deep cut. Very good. Very good reference. Very, very obscure. Even for this, that's obscure. Excellent. Very well done. And there'll be more Rooney after the break, including Angry Wayne and another edition of Wag Watch. Hi, we're Football Book Club Podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode. Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are reading Wayne Rooney's My Decade in the Premier League. Now, James, you forgot yours last time, so I'm hoping you do. Did anyone have...
I've got one, boss.
Very good. Who's got the out-of-context Wayne Rooney's? James, as you were naughty last time, you forgot your homework.
Yes,
you can go first. You can go first.
It feels like I've put my head in front of a Babyliss Turbo Power 2000. It's horrible.
Oh, my God. That's my favourite line. I hate to do context, but I think you need the sentence before.
That annoyed me so much, that line.
I agree. The sentence before, I just made a note of it.
The sentence before was, there's nothing worse than getting the hairdryer, talking about Alex Ferguson's infamous hairdryer.
The old Fergie hairdryer.
When it happens, yep. The manager gets right in my face, and it feels like I put my head in front of a Babyliss Turbo Power 2000. Huh? Why so specific?
You can't say... There's nothing like getting a hairdryer and then say, it's a bit like being blown by a hairdryer.
It's a bit like when you're playing golf and you tee off. A wonderful shot. It's nothing like that, Wayne.
The sheer force of a Babyliss power to... Is that a well-known hairdryer? I mean, I'm going to be sexist here. Is that a well-known hairdryer?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
But the Dyson wasn't out by then, you know?
That's true. That is true.
I've got another hair related out of context.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I get a pair of scissors and a razor and start shaving the hair on my chest for all the United and Liverpool supporters.
Sexy music again?
Scissors and that a is razor. Okay.
Yeah.
I reckon he started with scissors and was like, this is not going
to
work at all.
But,
Jesus Christ.
I mean, for someone who's famously...
Get the razor. Colleen!
For someone who's famously follicularly challenged, he must be very hairy under that shirt.
Exceptional use of the word follicularly. Wow.
Just to confirm, did he drew a 19 in, right?
Yeah, he shaved a 19 into his chest.
Yeah. And disgusting. I think because United won 19 league titles, not as a reference to the song 19 by Paul Hardcastle, I'm assuming about...
or the album by Adele.
Or the album by Adele, yeah. He likes them all. Anything 19. That sounds... cut that, James. Anyway, Jack, have you got one?
Look, we know for a fact that's not true. Yeah, anyway.
That's a very good point. Jack, you're out of context?
Well, I don't see United as a cow, but the idea is right.
I think that's exactly what I was going to pick up, because I was going to mention, you know, we had the Neil Redfern, the wisdom of Neil Redfern when we did his book.
Yeah.
Remember we had the philosophical Neil Redfern. We played some philosophical music over top. I think that's from the segment. Sorry to give away No Context Club, but that's from the segment where Fergie says some mad kind of analogy about a cow, right, to describe Rooney. So can we cue the philosophical music for that? Because I've got a real... He says this as though like it's, you know, Plato or Socrates has said this line. But what he says is, it's just about when he kicked up a fuss, wanted to leave. Ferguson's exact line is, sometimes you look in a field and you see a cow and you think it's a better cow than the one you have in your own field. It's a fact, right? And it never really works that way. Who has ever looked at a cow in a field and gone, that's better than my cow? Bizarre. Even the cow people who own cows don't think that, I doubt, do they?
How many people own cows and looking at other cows?
If it was horses, I'd get it a bit. Because horses, you know, like at least Ferguson knows about horses. Or if it was like, you know, midfielders even. But cows, where's that come from? And then Wayne feels like it's so smart he has to explain it. He goes, what he's saying there. This is literally what he says. He goes, he's saying that grass isn't always greener. And he's right. Well, I don't see United as a cow, but the idea is right. Jack's line. I like what's in my field. I'm wrong. United want the same as me. Trophies. And he goes on about six sentences describing
also,
what that thing means.
You can't say the grass is always greener because we're talking about cows.
Grass
is what cows eat. Are you the cow or is United the cow? You have to work this out. Do you want to own the cow or do you want to be the cow, Wayne?
But anyway, that was the wisdom of Wayne Rooney and Sir Alex Ferguson there. So, honk honk, stop the philosophical music.
So I think it's time for Wag Watch, don't you guys?
Wag Watch. Very much.
Wag Watch.
The Wag Watch.
Jack, that was good.
That was
Jack, that was
good.
A very good... yeah, it was like that guy out of Police Academy. Ken Zong. Yeah, I liked it.
Now, I don't think we'd kind of be giving this such a prominent position in the podcast were it not for current events. But I do think it's, you know, interesting to see how they both talk about their respective significant others. And putting this book next to Vardy's makes Wayne Rooney look like possibly the worst husband on this planet. And I didn't think it could be any worse than I expected it to be, because, you know, he's not got the best track record. And really, Colleen's like in the Hall of Fame of wags, right? She should be one of the all-time greats, you know, Wagatha Christie and the puffer jackets and stuff.
Yeah.
But
she's the goat of wags.
She is married to this charisma vacuum, and it really has turned her into mashed potato with no salt and butter. Like, honestly. She's got...
That's the isolated clip for this week, for sure.
But
yeah,
she...
get ready for that to be dropped into the later episode of the Patreon podcast.
Yeah.
But she's got no, like, agency in this book at all. It's so weird, the way that he talks about it. I mean, they got together so young and they were famous so quickly, and she's been kind of humiliated by him in such dark, repetitive ways. And he still doesn't give her any sort of credit or life or interest in this book. And so I had a look.
I do wonder if it is maybe slightly because it is meant to be about his Premier League days.
Yeah, no, I get that. But he mentions her 14 times in this book, right? And these are not anecdotes. I'm not summarizing this. Literally, this is what they say. Colleen's in bed. Colleen irons my shirt. Colleen leaves me to it. Colleen is away for the day. I took Colleen away. I bought Colleen a house. That's it.
Blimey.
That sounds like a haiku that you could write.
Yeah.
Wag Watch is a little bit dry because I can't really, I haven't learned anything about this poor woman other than hope she had a really, really good prenup and walks away with half of everything.
Oh, blimey. No. How are we this is very hard to, do you feel, because obviously this all comes down to who we feel we build the greatest amount of respect and love for out of the two of them, so we can decide who wins the child. Obviously doing that thing. Yeah. Do you feel you warmed her a bit more because, you know, she's so neglected by Wayne in this book?
She's complete, because it would have been much better if he hadn't mentioned her at all. Because he brings her up, but talks
not
about her in
watch.
Such a negative... Not for Wag Watch, no.
Yeah,
but he talks about her in such a kind of negative way that it would have been so much better just to leave her out of it. I don't understand the kind of creative decision, although, you know, maybe it's to avoid the wrath of the tabloids. But yeah, it was just... Wag Watch, I'm afraid, is not quite as exciting as last time because there wasn't really much to say.
Oh,
there was one bit that I enjoyed where he talks about them going on holiday, and he talks about
the first
them,
ever holiday.
No, first time on holiday, and they go on a first class plane trip. And he says halfway through, I had to spend the rest of the flight half naked, an airline blanket wrapped around my waist as my pants were dry by the stewards because Colleen had spilt champagne over him.
That was very nearly dramatic reading this week. That was up there with that. But I was thinking about that. That's at the end of his first season at Everton, right? It's their first holiday together.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been 18 at that point. He would have been 17 years old. Drinking the devil's juice.
That is a big first holiday to go on. That's not a short flight for you've never been on a plane before.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All I can think about is mashed potato with no salt and butter. It's been in my head ever since. Can't get it out of my head.
Horrible. He does make him a Christian though, right? Or something?
Yeah,
he becomes a Christian.
Her family are
to
quite religious. So he starts praying before matches. Yeah.
Oh. I bet they're praying for him all the time. Over and over again.
But the way
for many
he
reasons.
Says that, it's sort of like, oh yeah, I just thought I'd give it a go, really, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know, if Colleen's religious, I thought, why not for me?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a phone contract. You know, it's just easier if we're all on the same phone contract. You know, like a family plan. So let's just do the whole the same religion, okay? Yeah. All be the same religion.
Yeah. And that was Wagwatch. Wagwatch.
Sorry, bit of a dour one this week.
Boo, 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 Wagwatch.
No, not at all. You can only work with what you dealt. You can only play the cards you dealt.
And I have to say...
You can only live with the cow in your field. You can't have someone else's cow. It's only the cow that you are dealt.
Does Colleen Rooney have a book?
Yes, she does.
She does have a book. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Message us if you want us to read it.
If Colleen's book was just about her, and she mentioned him like Wayne. Wayne's had a nap. It would be so good. I'd love it. Such a power play.
Wayne's dressing Kai up in an Everton shirt. Anyway.
James, there was something which you noticed in the book.
He was an angry young boy, definitely, in his early playing days. When he's flying into tackles, getting red cards and stuff, but he recognises it. And he sort of says he wants to keep the anger because it's his drive to succeed. But he probably takes the hunger a little bit too far. There's one bit when you think they're on England duty and they're playing FIFA and Wayne's losing. So he just turns the PlayStation off, which is like such a little 13-year-old kid thing to do. But they're all like, oh, Wazza, come on, don't be like that, mate. And then he makes them all leave the room so he can just sit in the room by himself in a mood. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So funny. His relationship
with FIFA is bizarre. He plays so many games like with people in, as he says, in Japan and Thailand and stuff like that.
Do you see the bit where he was like, I started shouting at a guy in Japan and Thailand and I was like, hey, you've got something in common with Jamie Vardy. That's cool.
More things in common. Energy drinks and shouting at, yeah.
But yeah, he just like plays on there, and they all chat to them about like transfer dealings and stuff, and they'll go, "Are you the one?" It was like they don't know if I'm really the real Wayne Rooney, and his username is like Wayne Rooney 8 or something like that. He's playing against these guys. It's really weird. It's really weird. But yeah, angry guy, James.
Also, sorry, there's that bit where he's playing FIFA online to someone, and I don't know whether it's just one of them made up moments where he's like chatting to someone. I think it was after the wonder goal against City. And he's playing against someone, and some kid's like, his name's Wayne Rooney. Someone's like, oh, did you see Rooney's goal last night? And he's like, no, didn't see the match, mate. And it is him. He's like, he had no idea that I was Wayne Rooney. Probably not true.
Absolutely not true.
He definitely would have told. Yeah, that's me. That is me.
Imagine being sat at home playing Wayne Rooney at FIFA. What would you do? Panic.
But he wouldn't have known it. He never would have known it.
Well, I don't know. There's a big clue in the name.
That's what Rooney says in the book. He's like, oh, he would have just thought, you know, I'm just some United fan with Wayne Rooney as my name. He never would have known it was me.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping me from calling myself Wayne Rooney on FIFA, I guess.
Do you think he's got a bit of like Mickey Mouse Club syndrome because he joined Everton when he was 9 and he's just never grown up? Has he got a bit of the Britney Spears about him?
Maybe.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Possibly. Which one is he?
Wayne Rooney.
Is he Christina, Britney, Ryan Gosling or Justin Timberlake? Which of the four members I know is
Oh, he's definitely not Ryan
Gosling.
He's
Amanda Bynes.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, come on. Moving on. James, but so you think he's angry. Is there anything else that left you with?
Obviously he's not a fan of Liverpool, but you can't blame him. I mean, he's Evertonian.
Does this all boil down to the fact that you're upset that he's mean about Liverpool as a Liverpool fan?
Well, partly to do with it, but I think I would hate Liverpool as well if I was him. He's an Evertonian, so he already hates Liverpool, and then he signs for United, who hate Liverpool just as much, if not more, so you can understand it. But he talks about Rafa's rant in this, which is the first time any of these books have come up. And everything he writes, Liverpool fans were thinking the same thing. They were just like, oh, Rafa, you are bottling it, and it's exactly what happened.
The Kevin Keegan moment he went on.
Yeah.
I will love it.
Do you remember it? I imagine you remember it quite well. What he got out his little bit of paper with facts on it. Yeah. He hates Liverpool, but I can't hold that against him. How could you? So he is an angry boy, and he does hate Liverpool, and he does hate losing on FIFA, but I can let him get away with all that stuff. It's fine.
Okay,
I don't mind the anger. It's part of his personality, isn't he? Really,
it is. And the whole book is kind of him. Is him? He's very driven. But I would say this is probably the book out of all the ones we've read so far where he's most blatant about how much he dislikes a certain club. We don't really have that in many of the books. They don't go like, I hate this club.
True, but at this point, he's still playing for United, and
yeah,
obviously,
you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You
know,
he's going to play that up as much as possible. That's what they do, isn't it? Yeah.
There is an amazing bit in this book where he says, look, I'm not angry all the time, okay? I don't go around supermarkets like screaming at people, arguing with the bloke collecting the trolleys, or kicking down a stack of toilet rolls in a massive strop and saying, these are much cheaper down the road! That's brilliant. I love that. I love that he has to clarify that.
And then it ends kind of midway through his United career after City have won the league, which is a strange time to end it, I think. In the book. I mean, you know, you can't help it. That's when the book came out. But I think you're clutching at straws, James, saying he learned much from the book. I'm not too sure he did. There was just kind of season after season of winning things, and well done, Wayne. Well done,
he's
Wayne.
Probably, I mean, he's probably the most successful player we've ever done, I'd say. But
you love saying this.
I do love saying it, but it's true. Yeah. But
he is.
But
he's definitely the best player.
There's no peaks and troughs at all, because I couldn't tell you what happened. Like, well, he's the exact same level of happy and sad.
Yeah.
Even when he's going to leave United, he leaves that in for about a page and a half. He's like, oh, I thought about leaving in 2010, but I didn't. Anyway, boop de boop.
He just talks about cows more than he does the actual transfer.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I forgot about him trying to leave until...
I did as well, but it's not a big bit of this book. That's why it doesn't feel like there's a journey. It just feels like incredibly beige, summary of the whole 10 years.
Yeah. All great players threaten to leave and then realize they're at the best possible club.
The cow is brownest on their field.
Yeah, I think Harry Kane has realised that the cow is very much he's got the best cow he possibly could have at the moment. Anyway, but sorry, just to relate to the current events.
Am I? You are clutching at straws, no?
Thank you very much. I am clutching at straws, much like Wayne himself. But did this book change you?
I'm
guessing yes.
The whole thing kind of had the aura of a conversation that's 5 days before a breakup. You know what I mean? Like, you're on edge and you're a little bit miserable and you know it's coming because you had a good time together, and you know you've had some really good times, but when you look back at it now, it's all just seems a bit grey. Like, the only thing that I liked about this book is that he calls the epilogue Fergie time. That's it.
Yeah, that's good. That was good. That was good. That was very good. That was a very good moment. Wow. So people are breaking up with you and sending you 324-page books when they do it to explain, what are you doing to these guys?
That summarizes the entire decade of your relationship, but doesn't really give you any kind of insight into it.
It didn't change me massively. It was quite interesting in some ways to see the kind of blow-by-blow account, how he goes through things, how he processes stuff as a footballer. In terms of how that works in the early game...
I didn't believe that was true. I didn't believe any of that was real.
I thought some of it was a bit real, but yeah, it was definitely... But then
if you're guessing which bits are real and which bits aren't, it just doesn't really have any kind of... Basically, it feels like, give it another... I want to read this book in 5 years' time when he's left Derby in disgrace. Mm-hmm.
which will happen. I don't think you can wait 5 years for that, Jack. I think you can probably wait about another couple of months.
I want to read this book next year. It feels like there's a much more interesting story to tell, but it hasn't been told yet, and it hasn't been told in this book.
This will be his middle Owen book, where we were there's so much more that he needs to say, and then the next one is going to be the final Owen book.
His career will be over. Well, you know, career will be over, but I think he could be right with something there. He can definitely say more stuff when he's not employed by a club and he's not a footballer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not England captain anymore. I think that's probably very difficult to write that as explosive book when you're England captain.
Mm. Maybe. It just didn't, it didn't even feel like, it feels almost worse than the Owen middle book, because at least the Owen middle book had a sense of continuity and sense of change. This feels like a sort of weird purgatory.
A bit dull. James, same feeling for you?
Yeah, just, Man U won stuff. Fergie's a good manager. Yeah.
Heard it all before. Yeah. We get it. Rating out 10, James?
4.
Okay. Well, that's quite harsh. I'd say a very solid 6, I would say, for me. I'd say a 6. Very solid. Very okay. Jack?
5.
5. Yep. And Tash?
A generous 4.
That is mean. Yeah. That is mean.
Oh, when Tash James is said becoming a new James.
Yeah, she is. So that is a grand total of 19. which boils down to 4.75. Yeah, 4.75. Oh, he's big news. Vardy has won comfortably the Vardy v Rooney battle. That, I mean, I don't think it was ever in doubt, really, was it?
I'll be honest, as soon as I read the first word was bang, I was like, oh, Vardy's won this.
He didn't even give it a chance, Jack. He didn't
as a contest, I was like, that's over. Game's over. Where's Morgan's tattoo parlour? Nowhere.
That's true. That is very true. But he got thrashed. Rooney's second in the leaderboard overall. But yeah, well, Vardy got 8.5, didn't he?
He's not going to stay
4.75 to that. No, I think you're right. That is very disappointing, Wayne. That was the end of Vardy v Rooney. Very good fun. We learned a lot, I think, about the two guys. And, you know, now it's up to the courts to decide. I wish this was legally binding, but, you know, it's up to the courts to decide the rest. For the quiz this week, you have the following nicknames. Tash, you're Andy Garcia in The Godfather Part 3.
Yes.
Jack, you're a Babyliss Turbo Power 2000. And James, you're a soft lad. I meant to say that, actually. Wayne Rooney often describes people as soft lads. He's like, what are you, a soft lad? Which I think means like a crybaby, basically.
Yeah.
Very 2013 book, this one, let me tell
you. Very 2013 book, you soft lad. Yeah, not the most woke,
I would really say. It really has a 1997 aura about it.
When Tash had aura about 5 minutes ago, I was really trying not to say that again. Anyway, question number one. Remember to shout out your name when you know the answer. Who is Wayne's favourite player growing up?
Soft lad.
Oh.
Duncan Ferguson.
Is correct.
You're and in... he goes on to play video Dunk. Games with Duncan.
Yeah.
He does.
That's cute. That's
he
really
does.
Cute.
He does when he's not playing people out, yelling at people in Japan.
And Duncan Ferguson's like, did you see Wayne Rooney's goal yesterday? It was amazing.
No, I didn't see it, man.
Question number two. Who did Wayne name his childhood rabbit after?
Oh, soft lad.
Oh,
soft lad's in again.
Oh, fucking hell.
No point saying your full name.
Gary Speed, but he called him Speedo.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Soft lad. R.I.P. Poor Gary Speed. But yeah, Everton hero, wasn't he? And then he says after he bought the rabbit, then a week later Speed moved to Newcastle, right?
Yeah, he was good.
And he put the rabbit down.
Question number three. This is a big one. Potentially 10 points available here, I think. So we have to fly through them pretty quickly. But name any of the rubbish regularly left in the dressing room at Carrington, where Man United trained.
Oh, super Babylon turbocharge.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Yeah.
Shin pad packets.
Yes.
Towels.
Yes.
Energy drink cartons.
Sure.
No, Ribena cartons is one.
Ah, Ribena cartons. Damn it. Okay.
Anyone else got another one they think they can get?
No, I'm thinking.
No.
No.
So it's basically a child's bedroom. Ribena cartons, cycling magazines, cardboard packaging
cycling
for shin
magazines.
Pads. Trainers, flip-flops, towels, an iPod dock so we can play tunes, and a toy monkey on one of the shelves. That's the answer to that thing. Bizarre room. Question number four. What does Paul Gascoigne give young Wayne Rooney in the Everton changing room?
Oh, soft lad.
Oh, Turbulus Babylon Charger.
I think soft lad got in there quicker.
Gazza gave him 40 quid to go out with.
40 quid is the grand. It's a very sweet story, that, actually. Gazza walks in and says, any of you lads going for a night out? Gives him 40 quid. Very, very nice. You might be on today, Jack. Or maybe she's not good enough.
That really made me laugh.
Is he fuming?
Absolutely fuming.
And finally, all to play for. It's 3-2 to Soft Lad against Babyliss. Finally, what is the name of the United Club masseur? No one? But never mind. It's Rod the Rub. So well done to Soft Lad. Jesus. You have won this. And Soft Lad, what would you like as a prize? And there's only one thing you're allowed to say.
I think I'd like a Kenzo.
That is the correct answer, because you're going to get one. So we all know Ken. Ken writes football chants about footballers long since retired. What did we have last week? It was Ooh Ah Steve Grizovic to the tune of Gina G. We also had... David Wheaters, the tune of I'm a Believer, I think we had. This week, we're getting some classic Eastern European pop from Tattoo. So, to the tune of All the Things She Said. Oh, what a banger that is. What a banger that was. Actually, also, weirdly, two in a row who have done Eurovision, I just realised. Gina G was Eurovision, and Tattoo didn't do it with All the Things She Said, but they did. Anyway, word of warning, it starts at a weird moment in the song, halfway through the pre-chorus, the one he sent me. But it is good. Okay. Striding down the right wing, our dream number 13. He's got goals in mind. Alexander Klebb, Alexander Klebb putting us ahead, putting us ahead. Alexander Klebb, Alexander Klebb, Alexander Klebb putting us ahead, putting us. Alexander Klebb. Yes.
Oh, that's very so good. That's very so good.
That is vintage Ken Zong. I can't wait for the now that's what I call Ken Zong to come out. Yeah. Big moment. That's all for Vardy v Rooney, but we'll be back in a fortnight. In the meantime, make sure you get in touch with us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, or on Facebook. Send us your thoughts, your author footballer puns, chant ideas, anything. If you can't wait 2 weeks for an episode, make sure you join the Football Book Club that we mentioned earlier, where you receive 20 minutes more Rooney chat, which you're about to record now. That'll come to you next week, plus loads more bonus episodes, and you can get your hands on a Football Book Club bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Any last words from the Vardy v Rooney spectacular, guys?
He's in the generator room.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, James Baljan, Natasha Daniels, and Jack Bernhardt. It was created by James Bug. Thanks to Wayne Rooney for writing the book, but where are they all now? Well, Wayne went on to become Manchester United and England's record goal scorer and now manages Derby County in the Championship. He still dreams about dribbling past Tony Hibbert every night. Anderson picked up the rest of the English language from a combination of Unreal Tournament and Mario Kart. Dimitar Berbatov still bears a passing resemblance to Andy Garcia from The Godfather Part 3. James is still fuming Rooney hates Liverpool so much, and Fergie has since upgraded from a Babyliss to a Dyson hairdryer. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is using a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, bye-bye.